From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
And welcome. It's the Disc Golf News for the week of November 8th, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan. Coming up this time, results from the Veterans Park Open in Arlington, Texas. And we've got a preview of this weekend's U.S. Masters Championships out in California. Plus, professional disc golfer Todd Branch has some red-hot tips for those cold winter rounds in the 60-second clinic. And just when he thought election season was finally over, no. We remind you that it is PDGA election time now, and this week we'll meet each of the three players who are vying for seats on the PDGA Board of Directors. It's PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Discovering the World at dtworld.com, also by Discraft at discraft.com, and No Obstacles Disc Golf at 150class.com.
No Obstacles Disc Golf announces the addition of 150class.com. At the 2004 PDGA Worlds, we heard you ask for lighter weight discs. At 150class.com, you'll find Discraft's new 150 Z Flick, Talon, and Storm, plus a great selection of Innova, DGA, and Millennium. If you're looking for heavier weights, go to plu-ent.com to search our custom collection. No Obstacles Disc Golf and 150class.com, where pigs fly.
The Uber Golfers were in Arlington, Texas last weekend for the Veterans Park Open. Results coming away to get in with the Masters Division, and Alex Hughes goes into the final round with a huge Mongo Jongo lead and just starts coughing up the strokes. But he's going to manage to win this one by a single stroke over Mitch McClellan. Vinnie Miller takes third in the Masters to the win this division. And Courtney Peavy, her game is coming right along. She battles it out every step of the way with Sheila Kirkham. She's going to win it by a stroke. Kirkham second place, and Kerry Burlager, where, girl, was your game? I don't know, but it wasn't in Arlington last weekend. 34 over for her. She takes third. To the Open Division, and Barry Schultz having a world champion kind of weekend. He's going to just chug along and wins it by a single stroke in the final round over Coda Hatfield. Great performance by him. Ron Russell takes third. That's the VPO. Time now for the 60-second clinic. You're probably aware that the radio show is taking a hiatus over the winter. Yeah, a little break. We'll be back in February. But, of course, disc golf doesn't stop over the winter. I don't care where you live. People are throwing snow, whatever. So before we take our winter leave, we wanted our course pro, Todd Branch, to give you some red-hot tips to help out during those cold winter rounds.
What are some good tips for playing in the wintertime? Okay. For one, got to make sure that you stay warm and dry. Lots of thin, loose layers work real well. Get a pair of shoes that are going to keep your feet warm. You know, you don't want to use sneakers so much. Some sort of a boot works real well. For traction, I like to take sheet metal screws and screw them up through the sole. It's kind of a permanent thing, and you don't want to wear those around the house when you're not golfing or anything, but they work real well out on the snow and ice. Hand warmers work real well, and they work in a mitten. It seems to keep your hand warmer better than a fingered glove. A good stocking cap and a neck warmer, I guess you'd call it. It's a piece of material that just sort of goes from your chin to the top of your breastbone. Works real well, keeps the wind out of there. So go ahead and get out and play in the winter, and it will probably help your game out.
Professional disc golfer Todd Branch is a frequent contributor to our show, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
Since 1979, Discraft has designed and manufactured tournament-quality flying discs for all disc sports. Our disc golf line is second to none. From beginners to world champion pros, disc golfers everywhere rely on the quality, consistency, and durability of every Discraft Pro Golf disc. Discraft, the world leader in disc sports.
The average disc golfer's new secret weapon is the Flash Maximum Distance Driver. Available now from Discraft and your local disc golf retailer.
Hi, this is Elaine King, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture this week, you've probably had enough of elections to last you a while. You've probably had more than enough of elections. You may not even want to hear the word election ever again. unfortunately, we got to talk elections. So let me cue the patriotic election-type music. Get your heart swelling thinking about your patriotic duty to vote for your PDGA representative. That's right, it's PDGA election time, and we've got a bunch of state coordinators to elect. Of course, you get to vote for the coordinator in your state, but there are also three seats on the PDGA Board of Directors to fill. A little bit more about that. There are seven seats total on the Board of Directors. They essentially turn over every other year. It's a two-year term, so each year about half of the board turns over and is up for re-election. You have three seats to fill this year. There are three people running to fill those seats, so it's not like you can vote for the other guy because they're all running unopposed. However, they're all very qualified, very smart, successful disc golfers and business folk, so we'll be introducing them to you today. So first, we will meet Bruce Brakel of Michigan. He is running for the oversight position.
This is Bruce Brakel. I'm currently from Waterford, Michigan. My PDGA number is 13087, and I'm running for the position of PDGA Oversight Director. The specific assigned duties of the Oversight Director are to ensure that the PDGA Board functions in accordance with the PDGA Constitution and, you know, its own rules. I am an attorney. I've been an attorney for 20 years. Mostly what I do is I help a circuit court judge find the law and apply the law. The main reason why the board asked me to serve as oversight director is because they had some legal documents they wanted reviewed and rewritten. During Marty Hapner's, towards the end of his term, I was doing some of that stuff volunteer behind the scenes. They had legal issues relating to disciplinary issues, like things like, you know, are they exposing themselves to liability for libel and slander and those kinds of things if they published the results of a disciplinary hearing. So they had issues like that that they wanted somebody to look at. So they kind of came to me because they knew through Terry Calhoun that I might be interested and that I had both writing skills and legal skills that could, as a volunteer, supplement what they needed on the board at the time.
And Bruce, now that you have a better handle on the situation that the next oversight director is going to be facing, what are some of your goals and ideas that you want to put forward?
I don't really have an agenda. I decided to do this in order to serve the PDGA. And, you know, so far in our meetings, I'm really taking a minor role, mostly just listening and piping up if somebody says something that, you know, ought to be repeated. But I'm really not one of the voices on the board that has an agenda to shape the future of the PDGA. I mainly just want us to do sensible things that work for our tournament directors and our players. And, I'm not one of the revolutionaries, one of the radicals.
That's Bruce Brakel of Michigan. He is running for the oversight seat on the PDGA Board of Directors. Up next, it's Missouri's John Chapman, who is your candidate as competition director.
John Chapman, PGA 5559 from Kansas City, Missouri, and I'm running for competition director.
And John, give us an idea of your disc golf resume. Where have you been? What have you done?
Well, I started playing disc golf in Columbia, Missouri at Albert Oakland Park in 1986. I worked at the swimming pool there, strangely enough, and somehow I played before work, and I got hooked. Joined the PDGA in 1990. Started getting more involved with the Columbia Club, and then ran the Mid-America Open 97 to 99. I've helped out. I've been on staff from the Kansas City Wide Open from, I think, 98 to now, current still. And I've been on staff for two amateur world championships. So I'm currently on the PDGA Rules Committee and one of the charter members of the Marshall Program.
Are you coming into this election with an agenda? Do you have some things you want to accomplish?
As far as an agenda, I think I just really wanted to apply my disc golf background, actually my officiating background. It was a strong basis in in officiating and running events. So I have 12 years as a high school and small college football official, and also in running ball golf events as well. I think just having different background, different sports and different events sort of gives you an idea. You sometimes apply things from football. That seems a little bit of a stretch, but as far as writing rules and things like that, sometimes you take things from their rule book and do things in ours. As far as an agenda, one of the things I want to do is maybe try and find out about our dress code. It was a very hot topic at Worlds this year. For pro players, I don't think there's much of an objection to it. I'm not sure how well received it was with the amateur players, especially the older divisions. I'm actually sort of just curious to find out from the membership how the dress code really affects our marketability and that kind of thing. It seems like Frisbee players are sort of free spirits, and in a way we should celebrate our independence, and it seems like we'd be more marketable that way. There's certainly pros and cons to the issue. I'm not sure putting Frisbee players in collared shirts is the right thing to do. I'm not sure it's the wrong thing to do either. Just sort of want to maybe find out.
That's Missouri's John Chapman. He is running unopposed for the competition director's seat this year. Finally, let's meet another Michigander. He is Terry Calhoun, and he is running for re-election as communications director.
Terry Calhoun, and I am from Ann Arbor, Michigan, although I was born in Chester, West Virginia, and raised in East Liverpool, Ohio. My PDGA number is 15117, and I am running for re-election as the communications director on the PDGA board.
And what are the duties of the communications director?
To communicate things to the membership is basically what the Constitution says. But in fact, the duties of a PDGA board member were different a couple years ago than they are now, and it's changing really fast as we speak. In the past, PDGA board members, because we've been short-staffed, pretty much irregardless of the title they're on the board with, take on projects and tasks of various kinds and see them through to completion, working with staff and other volunteers. A good example is Teo Posey, who, as the director, what was a regional director, he actually spent most of his time working on the PDGA website and database and things like that. The communications director has that. One of the things that I didn't know I was going to have to do was write the pages, PDGA pages, in Disc Golf World News each issue. Turns out that shortly after I joined the board, Rick Rothstein left, and he'd always written them himself since he'd been at the board meetings, and that became a new job for the communications director that the previous communications director hadn't had to do. At the moment now, I write strictly in that role. I write and send the email newsletters and communications. I do a little bit of web stuff, not much, and I do the Disc Golf World News pages, and I help the staff with some of the letters and communications they write and send out by mail to people. And also, let's see, what else? Oh, yes, we're now doing a page or two in each issue of Disc Golf Magazine as well, which I'm writing. One of the changes that's going to happen is sometime in the next 3 or 4 months, the electronic newsletter, the email newsletter thing, will go into staff hands, and that'll be primarily being put together in the staff office by Lori Gibson. But board members do a lot of board stuff too, which is mostly trying to feel real responsible about the PDGA, think about things from a strategic perspective, and make some pretty difficult decisions about decisions to spend money and do various things.
Terry, you are running for a second term as a PDGA director. You've now got a pretty good handle on where the organization has been and where it's going. So from your perspective, over the next couple of years, what would you like to see the board accomplish?
Well, yeah, you're right. It takes a while to understand where things are and where things are going. The big picture is really big, and it's really broad. And, you know, I actually been on the board now for almost 3 years. I was appointed to fill a term that was left vacant when Mark Ellis resigned from the board. He didn't tell me that when I did that, how much work it was. I think that the biggest issue for the PGA is in a strategic sense, is to figuring out what it's going to really focus and do, that which constituency groups is it going to best serve itself, and how can it conserve or help other people serve the diversity of constituent groups. We have the manufacturers, we've got various kinds of things, disc baskets and paraphernalia, we've got the wholesalers, we've got the retailers, we've got tournament directors, we've got clubs, we've got the people who own the courses, we've got the members, and within the members we've got the rec members and the AM members and the competitive AM members and the pro members, and we also have the responsibilities of the governing body that are pretty core to what the PGA does, which is things like the rules and the course directory and stuff like that. So I don't think we can necessarily do all of those things, and we certainly don't do them all very well right now. We don't serve course owners much at all. And I think one of our big discussions is going to be, now that we've just doubled our staff from 2 to 4 people, how do we get more, the board is going to move more away from basically unpaid volunteer operational work to more strategic thinking and policy thinking.
Which will also be unpaid.
But it's still going to be unpaid, yeah. I mean, you can't say we are unpaid. And so I think it's deciding, all those constituencies need to be served. And we have to decide if we're going to serve them all under some kind of big PGA umbrella, or if we're going to help other groups serve them, what kind of coalition might serve them all. And basically decide what the core of the PGA is going to pay attention to.
The thoughts of Michigan's Terry Calhoun. He is running unopposed for the seat as communications director on the PGA Board of Directors. Now, a little bit more about the election. The ballots will be going in the mail very soon, along with your 2005 PGA membership renewal information. Those will be arriving at your home by the end of the month. You'll need to turn them around, get those ballots back to their mailbox of origin by the end of December. That's December 31st. They must arrive, otherwise your vote doesn't count. And you can sue all you want, it ain't going to matter. We also have some races going for state coordinators in the following states: Illinois, New York, South Carolina, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Good luck to all the candidates for those spots. Be you red state or be you blue state? And I think we've all had enough of that kind of talk. You're listening to PDGA Radio News. Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Order ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World. The final PDGA major event of the year is going down this weekend in Los Angeles. It's the U.S. Masters Disc Golf Championships. The tournament director is Tim Selinsky.
The event was started in 2000, and it was created to be the national championship for all of the professional age-protected divisions. And this year, we've actually added the advanced position, or the advanced category, to include in this year's championships to try and reach out to some additional players.
So then what you're saying is that if you are a grandmaster, senior grandmaster, etc., you are still welcome at this event?
Absolutely, and in fact, we were fortunate enough in the last U.S. Masters Championship to hand out titles in the Masters, Grandmasters, Senior Grandmasters, Legends, and Women's Masters divisions.
And who is the returning champ? Who's defending?
The defending champ is Jeff Lissman from up in Northern California. And we are fortunate to have the current Masters World Champion, Brad Hammack, scheduled to come out and compete in the event as well. La Mirada, first off, is one of the oldest courses in the world, oldest permanent disc golf courses in the world. It has gone through changes through the years, but it is a beautiful park with rolling hills. There's a lake in the center of the park. There are very many mature trees, although it's not heavily wooded compared to Midwest and Eastern standards. But for West Coast standards, it's a relatively wooded course, and all mature trees, beautiful grass surface to play on, and an extremely challenging set of layouts for the tournament. I think the fact that we are able to offer national titles for all of the age-protected divisions, it helps to encourage folks who may not have felt that they could compete with the open players an opportunity to have a reason to be out practicing all the time and have something to shoot for.
Tim Zielinski is the tournament director for this weekend's U.S. Masters Disc Golf Championships in Los Angeles, California. We spoke to him at his office in Rancho Cucamonga. So, you say you're not of an advanced age to enable you to go out to the Masters Nationals in L.A. this weekend? No problem. Lots of other stuff going on. In Goshen, Indiana, it's the 7th annual Turkey Shootout. Amps, you plan on Saturday. Pros and advanced play on Sunday. Newport News, Virginia, it's the Fall Colors Tournament this weekend. And in Stone Mountain, Georgia, check out Squirrel Fest, where there's always a free lunch. Nah, I'm kidding. You're really not going to be eating squirrel. Louisville, Texas, the Zeigan Light Texas 10 Charity Cup. And the Full Sail Bay Series moves to San Francisco this weekend. In Katy, Texas, it's the DiscGolfStore.com Cross Point Gulf Coast Championship Series. Guys, can you make your name any longer? And in Northville, Michigan, Tag Finals this weekend. Full list, PDGA.com. And some other pretty interesting news from the PDGA. The 2005 tour documents, the first wave anyway, are out and available. You can find them at the website. Now, some fairly interesting changes within those documents this year. They include the option for some pros, depending on your rating, some pros next year will be allowed to compete in the amateur division for amateur prizes. That's one change. Another is that AMs can actually compete for trophies next year. They have that option. No prizes, just trophies for a lower entry fee. So if the higher fees AMs have been bugging you, you may have another option next year. And if the entry fees have been taking a bite out of you, amateurs, another thing going on here is that PDGA recommending that a cap be put on to the entry fees. For example, the recommended cap for entry fees at an A-tier Super Tour event for amateurs, $50. So, some of the changes coming, and you can find out more just by checking out PDGA.com and look for those 2005 tour documents. They are very cool, and thanks to our new staffer, David Gentry, for putting those together. And that, my friends, is the Disc Golf News for the week of November 8th for the PDGA. I'm Brian Sullivan. Our sponsors are Discovering the World, DTWorld.com, also Discraft, Discraft.com, and No Obstacles Disc Golf at 150class.com. As you are probably aware, our season coming to an end very soon, but we will be back next week. We hope you will be as well. And until then, I hope you will get out there, huck some plastic, stay out of the shul, and keep them in the fairways.